Welcome to Power of the Cross Radio Sermons. Up next is a sermon from Pastor Farrell Wilson of the Lighthouse Church in Grenada, Mississippi. Join us as Pastor Wilson shares a powerful message rooted in the Word of God, offering hope, encouragement, and spiritual insight. We know the sermon will uplift and inspire you on your spiritual journey. Now on to the message.
In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, Romans chapter 8 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. God, I thank you so much for another opportunity to stand here and declare your word. Your word is life. Your word brings freedom and liberty. It brings your grace and mercy. Without it, we're nothing, Lord. I pray your blessings would be over this short time we have together. Again, remember our church family that are out, that are sick this morning. Pray for a speedy recovery. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. Amen. The Christian life, as you know, is not struggle-free. If you don't know it, hopefully you'll know that before we finish today. I hope you don't have struggles, but hope you understand there's going to be struggles in your Christian walk. Every believer, and I mean every single one, are going to face a battle. If you're looking for a pastor that's going to tell you that there's a struggle-free life in Christianity, you're at the wrong church. There's some out there, I don't really know who to recommend, but there's some out there that preach it, you're never going to have a problem. But that's just not reality. You're going to face battles. Every day of your Christian walk, there's going to be some type of battle. You're going to face temptation. We could be of the most sanctified people. We could be following the Lord by the message of the cross, and yet still we face temptation. In my study of the Word of God this past week, something I don't know that I'd ever really realized before, the greatest temptation that Jesus Christ himself had was for the people to exalt him as leader over Israel when he was here. You would see several times in Scripture, it was an odd place for me to find it when I realized this, was after he had performed a miracle of feeding thousands of people, and he had to tell them to go away. He had to go to a private place to get away from them because they were wanting to exalt him as leader, as king. You're going to face disappointments as a Christian. Every day of this Christian walk, it seems like, and not only in our Christian walk, but in the world. In the world, you're going to have trouble, Jesus Christ said. You're going to have seasons of spiritual conflict. This is one of the toughest things for me as a Christian that I had to learn, because I thought when you become a Christian and I heard the message of the cross and I understood the power of the Holy Spirit, I said, well, surely I won't have as much spiritual conflict. In reality, it's even harder because now you understand the truth. You know how the Holy Spirit works and the spiritual conflicts come. What do I mean by that? I could be up here this morning and preaching, woo, full of the Holy Spirit and ready to go, ready to charge hell with a water pistol, and then get out that door and feel like every demon in hell is clubbing me in the head. Maybe I'm the only one like that. No, surely I'm not. Surely I'm not. You know, this is spiritual warfare we're in. And the good news, I guess if there's good news behind this, is you're not alone. You have company in spiritual warfare. So the next time you're all alone at your house or wherever you may be driving down the road and you feel like, boy, I'm just being singled out by, you know, all the cohorts of hell, know that you're not the only one. Know that everybody, every child of God faces the same struggles. I don't care how many years they've preached. You know, some of the biggest names in ministry, Billy Graham and Jimmy Swaggart and David Wilkerson, the list goes, Max Lucado. Somebody sent me a text this week about Max Lucado. I forgot about him. He come out finally. He was a closet Pentecostal. He finally come out and admitted he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But all these great men, they face struggles. I remember Max Lucado come out with a testimony. He said during COVID, he thought nobody was watching him, and they weren't. And he would get in his car late at night and drive to the other side of town where nobody knew him, and he would get beer out of the store, and he would drive down the road drinking beer. Max Licato, we all have spiritual struggles. Paul understood firsthand these battles, and he described them in Romans 7. This is the man that wrote most of the New Testament as we know it. This is the man that spoke seven languages fluently. He knew the law inside and out, inside and out. He was redeemed miraculously, had a heavenly encounter with Jesus Christ. And sometime down the road, he writes the book of Romans to the Romans, or the Christians in Rome. And in that, in Romans chapter 7, he begins to describe his struggle, the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. You're not going to get away from this. You will have this battle until the day God calls you home. This flesh, the actual flesh, my hands, my feet, my mind that wants to do everything against the will of God, there is going to be a battle between that and that divine nature implanted in me upon salvation. Now, if you don't care and these words aren't affecting you and you say, that doesn't bother me, the problem is this, you're not saved. Now, I'm not telling you anybody in here this morning you're unsaved. I'm speaking generally across the air. But if there is no conflict in here between your divine nature and the flesh, you may have never even really been redeemed. The conflict and these struggles can be so intense, you can feel defeated and discouraged. I know the feeling. I've been doing this since July of 2005. Some of you have been doing this much longer than me, and you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just walk away feeling defeated and discouraged despite how good of a sermon you may hear, despite how good the church service or your prayer time was, you can still walk away discouraged and defeated. Paul even said this in Romans 7 and 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" What is this body of death? It's this right here. It's this body that's out of the will of God without Jesus Christ that is doomed to eternal hell. That's what that fight is, and Paul knew it. But Romans chapter 8 begins with the answer. The answer is not self-effort. It's not law-keeping. It's not religious performance. The answer is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the cross was because of God's grace. So for a few moments today, I want to preach to you on the guarantees of grace. The guarantees of grace. If you look in verse 1 again, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, or which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at this one word, therefore. Therefore connects you back to Romans chapter 7. And Paul had just described in Romans chapter 7 the struggle of overcoming sin through the flesh. He said that he was committing spiritual adultery and he knew it. And in chapter 7, as you read it, as it unfolds on the page, it looks like the situation is absolutely hopeless. And without Christ, it is. He even brought out, we have the Ten Commandments and we're supposed to keep them, but how can I do it? I've looked and I haven't found the answer. All I see is this rotten inner man inside of me that cannot do the will of God. I see the Ten Commandments. I know they're good. I know they were wrote by the hand of God, but how to do, I do not find it. I can't find it. And if you look towards, I think it's verse 25 in chapter 7, though he says, "But thanks be unto God, in Jesus Christ we have found the answer." So, and that brings us into chapter 8. And he talks about deliverance is not found in yourselves. Deliverance is found in Jesus Christ alone. Now, if you notice in verse 1, it says, we're not condemned anymore. When I first got saved, this really opened my eyes. You mean to tell me all the rotten things I've did in my life and the bad person that I was? I thought I was on my way to hell before I even got saved. I knew it. And I avoided it. I found an escape in drugs and alcohol. That's how I escaped that conviction. That's why so many people do. I noticed up in Memphis yesterday, I'm watching the news. I'm just having a little lunch, and I flip it on the news, and they're having a gay pride festival up in Memphis. And I'm watching it. That didn't really shock me so much as I watched in the parade, church after church after church after church in Memphis, Tennessee, right up the road, to include the First Baptist Church of Memphis, were marching with pride flags down the road. My friend, that is somebody that does not know they're condemned. When I got saved, I understood this. When I got saved and I truly knew the Lord Jesus Christ, before I understood the message of the cross, you can get saved without understanding the cross like we do now. But I understood that I was condemned. And that means God will judge sin. All of those, and I'm going to say this nice as I can, all of those souls up in Memphis without being hateful, and I'm not going to be, I watch thousands and thousands of people that are condemned before a holy God and they don't even know it. They will face God's judgment one day for this. And I tell you what, the churches too that do not preach the cross to give their people the knowledge they need, woe unto them. God said it quite well. He said, those shepherds that have misled the sheep, not only am I going to require the blood of the sheep, but I'm also going to require the blood of the shepherds double. That means I have a responsibility to tell you the truth. And there is only one truth. And that truth is Christ and Him crucified. There's no other truth, my friends. You are condemned without Jesus Christ. But verse 1, whoo, I feel it. I feel that this morning. I get chills when I think about this. Holy Ghost chills, good chills. God said, I'm not condemning you no longer. No longer are you condemned. You're mine. That's what Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says. You're no longer condemned. I don't care how rotten you've been. You could have been the worst person on planet Earth. And Jesus Christ, because of what He did at Calvary, the Scripture is quite clear that as you accept Him as Lord and Savior, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why do you think when drug addicts get saved, they make laps around the church? Because they've been set free. Why do you think the alcoholic, when they've heard about Christ, that they're so happy when you mention the name of Jesus? It's because they're no longer condemned. Same thing with the prostitute. Same thing with the religious people. Religion is one of the worst narcotics you can wrap your body around. You know, I could talk to a drug addict. I can break through to them with the help of the Holy Spirit. I can talk to an alcoholic. I've encountered prostitutes and I have been able to speak a word. At least they would stop and listen. But do you know religious people, that drug of religion will get you so high on self-effort that you do not even realize that you're condemned. You know, Jesus took your guilt. You've got plenty to be guilty about today. I don't know your life. I don't know you personally. I don't know what you're like behind closed doors. You don't know what I'm like behind closed doors. But I can tell you, we all share something in common as human beings. We're all guilty before God. All of your shame, those things you don't even want to remember, the things in my life I try to push away. And I would say that the devil brings it back to my memory, but I'm going to say this. I believe the Holy Spirit sometimes will carry me back to places to remind me how far I've come. And the rest and the peace that I find for my shame is only found in the cross of Christ. Jesus took your judgment. I was just talking about what's going on up in Memphis. Here's the good news for those folks, though. Anytime they're ready, they can repent of their sins and they can come back to Jesus Christ and escape the judgment to come. Because make no mistake about it, our God is a loving God. We have guarantees of grace, but the Bible also says that He is a consuming fire. The Bible says we have a holy God. And He said, I'm holy, therefore you be holy. He never commanded us to go out and live in this world. He commanded us to come out and be separate from what this world is. And that means He'll take all that rotten stuff out of you, all that sinful human man inside of you, and He'll take it and wash it and cleanse it white as snow. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I want you to think about what Jesus Christ did. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ took the penalty. He became what we should have been. We should have been on that cross. We should have been condemned to hell. But yet Jesus Christ come from the portals of glory and took on human form. He shunned all the temptation to become an earthly king. He could have been king over all of Israel and the world, but therefore we would have still been unsaved. He knew He had to take it up on Him to save the human race. You know, Satan will condemn you. The law condemns you. This may be just me, but I noticed last week in Texas, they unveiled the Ten Commandments on some courthouse lawn. And I'm not opposed to that. That's fine. But I watch people put so much emphasis on, let's make sure we've got the Ten Commandments posted. Like that is going to make somebody live right. You know what the Ten Commandments does? It shows you how condemned you are. You, me, everybody in the sound of my breath on that radio, we broke one or more. There are some people that are repeat offenders daily. Well, I ain't never did nothing. I'm going to copy off one of my mentors, Brother Swaggart. If you don't think you committed any sin, meet me in the lobby after church, and my pretty wife is going to take a picture of you. We're going to have it framed and put right out there in the lobby and have the world's biggest liar wrote under it. You're a liar. You're not facing reality. And our failures condemn us, but God declares us righteous through faith in Christ.
Our goal is simple here at Power of the Cross Radio, to spread the message of hope, love, and redemption through music and preaching. Every day we strive to bring light into a dark world, but we can't do it alone. We need your support. Your donations help keep our station running and allow us to continue spreading the message of the cross to listeners worldwide. Join with us in ministry and make a difference today. Visit the website at www.cross.radio and click on how you can help. Together we can bring the message of Christ and Him crucified to a lost world. Thank you once again for listening to Power of the Cross Radio. Now, back to the message.
Grace guarantees no legalism. No legalism. If you look in verse 2 and it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And there's a law. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's not a law like the Ten Commandments, but it is a law of God. Let me explain this. In eternity past, God devised the cross. Before Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the cross was already in His mind. I know that is a hard concept for our little human minds, but it is the truth. The cross was never a question. He already knew that the cross, because God is omnipotent, omniscient, He can see and knows everything. He knew people would fail, but wouldn't this world be a terrible mess if we had no free will? If you didn't have free will, we would just be robots doing our little thing. We would be no different than a bird or a dog, or we would just go about life. You have something called free will inside of you. And God knew this, but he sent this plan into motion. And this law, that's what it is, the law of the spirit of life. And this is what the law means. I'm going to simplify this as easy as I can. It is a law that God devises. This is how I'm going to redeem the human race. And if you put your faith in it, you are free from all the legalism. You're free from it. You don't have to keep the law like you think. You have to, well, in a sense, yes, you're responsible for all of the Bible. You're responsible for the Ten Commandments, but here's the problem. You don't have anything inside of you, not 1 ounce of energy, that is able to keep all the Ten Commandments on your own. You cannot do it. You may give it a good old college try, and you may attempt it, but here's the problem with the law. If you fail in one point, Paul brought this out several times throughout the New Testament. If you fail in one point, you have failed all of it. So there's the problem. You're up against a holy God that knows more than you. He created you. He wrote the law, and he told you what the standard was. And Paul said this again in Romans chapter 7. I know all this, but how do I keep it? I can't find the answer. And the answer is in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When I place my faith in what Christ has done, then the Holy Spirit comes in me. He's already there, but then he can operate. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. And I want you to notice the location, though. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Notice the location. Let me repeat this one more time. As I read that, I want you to notice the location. It's not in yourself, it's not in your disciplines, and it's not in your promises. You'll make a million one promises to God this year, just like me. I'm going to do better, Lord. I'm going to do right. I'm going to be at church service every time. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to pray. I'm going to tithe. I'm not going to be ugly to anybody. I'm not going to hate my neighbor. I'm going to do everything right, Lord, and with the best of intentions, and you really mean it from your heart. You really, really mean it. And then 10 minutes later, well, I can't believe that old hussy. I'd just like to choke slam her. Forgive me, Lord. You know just as well as I do. You know just as well as I do. It's the same. Notice the location. I'm going to say it one more time. Notice the location is not in anything about you or you've done. It's in Christ Jesus. That's where it's at. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For any of this to work, you have to have peace with God. You can't just be somebody walk up one day and say, I need your benefits, God. Everybody wants that nowadays. It's a modern church. I'd love to have all the benefits that God gives Christianity, I believe in, but, you know, I can't be troubled with all that. You're justified by faith in Christ Jesus, and that means I'm declared legally innocent. I'm saved, and I know Christ is my Savior when I accept Him as Savior. But here's what has to happen after you're saved. You have to continue in this walk. The same thing that saved you is also the same thing that sanctified you. And this is the big problem within the modern church. The cross is not just a doorway to Christianity. The cross is the path we walk every single day. I hope both, you know, I would have no doubt that probably even some of these newfangled pride churches up here, these ones that are, I say this, I don't know, I'm going to step out on a limb here and just assume that maybe they're teaching, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're teaching Jesus Christ for salvation. But if you teach that, you also have to live it. And I can tell you, when you're in complete rebellion to the Word of God, something so dramatic as homosexuality, that you're not understanding the cross in your daily walk. That jailhouse and that prison is slap full of people that can quote the Bible to you. One of the people that I consider the greatest repeaters of the Bible, I'll say it that way, he understood things that he understood in any verse in the Bible. He knew it. He read it in prison. He read it many, many times, more times than I have. He could quote scripture better than me, but he never could live the life. I believe he was saved, but he struggled his entire walk with drugs, alcohol, and doing the wrong things because he never understood the benefits of Calvary. If you understood the message of the cross, you wouldn't be walking down a street with a pride flag, no matter your intentions. If you understood the cross, you would know how to break free from drugs. If you understood the cross, you'd know how to break free from alcohol. You'd know how to get rid of that mean spirit. You'd know how to bring it up under control. It has to be in Christ. You know, the Galatians made this mistake. That book you see in the Bible, the Galatians, the church at Galatia, they made this mistake of what I'm talking about when you don't seek the benefits of God exclusively through Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 3:3. Now, if you'll notice every other, like Philippians, Paul loved Philippi. He loved them. Boy, he wooed them in the letters on the page. But Galatia, he didn't waste no time with these folks. He said, who has so easily bewitched you? And that means, like, the devil is taking you over. Who has so easily bewitched you that you should follow another? And they're preaching something very contrary than what I taught you. Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? Hadn't begun in the spirit, and ye are now made perfect by the flesh. Here's what they were doing. They begun in grace, but they were trying to live by law. It's not possible. And believers are making that same mistake today. God will be pleased with me if I do this, this, and this, and this. I can come up here at this church and work my fingers to the bone. I could do all the activities of a pastor. I could go to every prison in the United States. I help run this radio. I could do all kinds of things. I could pray, do visits, lead people to the Lord, baptize people, and still I could die and go to hell. Because it's a religious activity. You know, those things you're wanting to do will happen. It's very natural for you to want to please the Lord. You were born with it. You were born with the DNA inside of you that wants to worship God. It's a natural human reaction. I know people reject it, but that is a very natural thing that you want to please God through an activity. Very natural. But the problem is it will never, ever bring God's grace. It won't bring the guarantees of grace to you. Because the only way the guarantees of grace will come into your life is through faith in Christ and Him crucified. No other way. You can trust Christ for salvation, but you trust yourself for sanctification is the problem. I know you, okay, I got saved, and I understand that, Brother Wilson. I accepted him, but I have to move beyond this cross. Now, I got to go do some things. If you will do it God's way, because what I'm preaching is God's way, not Pharaoh's way. If you will exhibit faith in Christ and Him crucified, all those things you want to do, you'll do them with joy. You'll go serve the Lord. You'll go preach. You'll go witness. You'll go pray. You'll go tithe. You'll go offer. You'll find a church. But they won't earn you anything. Not a thing. When you're in sanctification means this. You have been set apart. You know, we have a church world out there that thinks you can get saved and go live any kind of way you want. And that's not true. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. I'm telling you got to come out. I'm telling you got to live different than this world. You mean I can't go fishing? No, I never said that. You mean I can't go to the ball game? I never said that. But I am telling you things that the world participates in, like pride festivals, what Glenn called it, the peekaboo lounge, the hideaway. No, you don't need to be in places like that. You don't need to be doing things of the world. But I could sit here and start scrolling a list of do's and don'ts all day long. I could tell you what you shouldn't do and what you shouldn't do. I could have a whole big old list for you. We could spend hours and hours and hours and hours going over it. I can see the look on some of y'all's face. Please don't tell. No hours, Brother Wilson. I can make it simple for you. All those do's and don'ts are implanted in you by faith in Christ and what He accomplished at Calvary. It's the cross. This is how the Holy Spirit works. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what not to do. All the things you do need to do, all the things you don't need to do, your instructor is the Holy Spirit, and if you'll do it His way, you can find freedom. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for grace, by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to read one more, Galatians 2 and 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law. You hear that? But by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That simply means this. On your day, when you stand in eternity before God, you can't stand up there and say, I attended church every Sunday. I could just see God go, and? I prayed 10 hours every day, Lord. I fasted. I cast demons out. And? Thank you, but that's not what we're talking about here today. It's what He would say in my mind. No, two books are opened. And God looks in those books. Those that are already condemned and their names was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's only one way you can get your name in there, and that's by faith in Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You know, when somebody's crucified, they're dead. I'm dead in Christ, is what he was saying, but yet I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Grace guarantees the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life was never intended for you to live under human strength. Not one time. God never intended you to take this life that you have as a Christian and go on your own and try to do it. Romans 7 is a picture of what happens when we try that. Romans 8 is a picture of what happens when the Spirit works. The Spirit's power flows from Calvary. Everything the Holy Spirit does in our life is made possible by what Jesus Christ accomplished through His death and resurrection. The cross broke the authority of sin in your life. You have something in you called the sin nature, and it is powerful. It reigns like a king on his throne from your heart. And when you place your faith in anything else, he has that sin nature has its way. But the moment you place your faith in Christ and what He accomplished at Calvary, the Holy Spirit breaks that. He breaks that bond between the flesh and the sin nature inside of you. And now you're able to say no to temptation, to sin. Romans 6 and 14, now I believe this, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And what that means is, let's go back to the Pride Festival up here real quick, since it's such a dramatic example of it. When the sin nature is ruling and reigning in somebody's life, it doesn't look like sin to them. You're just loved. You're loved in this sexual sin that we have. And God would appreciate that. And you'll say stupid things like, Jesus was gay. Oh, they said it. They've said some dumb things like that. But you know what? If they were to place their faith in Christ and Him crucified, here's what would happen. Conviction would set in. And then it would be exposed upon their heart that what you're doing is wrong. Now take that to something you're doing maybe here that nobody knows about. Maybe it's taking a little swig of that hooch when nobody's looking. You're grown adults, you know, and I'm not just going to go down through every example this morning. I'd get myself in trouble and say something wrong. But whatever that secret sin is you have, you don't think anybody knows about, and you're not convicted about it, put it at the foot of the cross. And here's what'll happen. When you place your faith in what Christ accomplished at Calvary, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you comes up and says, boy, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be drinking. You should be doing it this way, God's way. The believer does not fight for victory. You hear me? It's not your fight. The believer fights from the victory that Jesus Christ has gave us. The Holy Spirit simply applies the victory to our daily life as we continue trusting in Jesus. Last one, grace guarantees no separation. Paul had listed every imaginable trial in verse 35 of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Shall any of these things separate us from Jesus Christ? Yet none of them can separate you from God. The same cross that saved you is the same cross that will keep you. The grace that found you is the same grace that will sustain you. There is no separation from Jesus Christ, even when you're at your worst. God's love for you today is not based upon how well you perform this week. It is based upon Christ's finished work. That's why God loves you. Romans 5 and 8, but God commands. That's a powerful word. God commands His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Romans 7 shows us the failure. Romans 8 reveals the victory of faith. So understand today, your Christian life is not lived by trying harder. It is only lived by keeping your faith in Christ and Him crucified. Would y'all gather around the altar for me, please? Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening to Power of the Cross Radio. We hope today's sermon has been a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. We believe in the power of God's Word and are dedicated to sharing it with others. If you have been blessed by our programming, we ask for your support so that we can continue spreading the message of hope and love through this internet radio station. Your donations help us reach more people and make a positive impact on their lives. To donate, please visit our website at www.cross.radio. Thank you for being a part of our ministry and helping us make a difference in this world. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.
Power of the Cross Radio is a production of Cross Faith Ministries. Visit them on the web at www.cfministry.com.